ask you something. Have you ever noticed that we tend to be, when I say we, I mean you and me and kind of people in general, tend to be the most critical of the things that we care the most about? Have you ever noticed that? We tend to be the most critical of the things that we care the most about. Trivially speaking, I think we see that often, those of us who are sports fans, in how it is that we talk about and follow our favorite sports teams. So yesterday in the morning, as I'm drinking my morning coffee and going about my usual morning routine, I'm checking in on my Facebook page. And one of the first things I do is I go to that, those of you who are on Facebook know this, I go to that on this day portion that shows you things that happened a year ago or 3 years ago, 4 years ago on this particular day. It's kind of fun to look back on what it is that I might have posted, what somebody else might have posted to my wall or included me in, those sorts of things. I came across a post from 6 years ago that I had put up. I didn't remember it until I read it, not surprisingly. Evidently, at that time, 6 years ago, the NHL hockey season had begun. And I don't know if it was after the first game or second game, but it must have been early on. The night before, the Penguins, Pittsburgh Penguins, which is my team, sorry, Sarah and Rob and others who might be Caps fans. The Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins are my team. Sorry about that. They had evidently just started the season the night before, and they evidently didn't do well because my post that next morning had said something about the defense being terrible and the power play being terrible and going on and on. It's like one or two games into the season, and here I am being highly critical of my favorite team. And I noticed a friend of mine had posted something like, maybe we should withhold judgment until a little bit longer into this. And I thought, well, that's probably true, right? We tend to do that. We tend to have all kinds of opinions and be very critical of those teams that we care the most about. If we don't care too much about them, we don't talk too much about them, unless there are bitter rivals. And the fact of the matter is, we still actually care about them when there are bitter rivals, right? But, oh, we say things all the time. We need a new quarterback or a new offensive coordinator. Oh, my gosh. And it doesn't really matter whether our team is winning or losing or what time in the season it is, beginning of the season, end of the season, postseason, whatever it is. We're often very critical of those things that we love. That's trivially speaking. On the more serious side, I think it's also true, and I wonder if this has been your experience as well, that we are also the most critical of those people that we care the most about, our family and our friends, right? The people that we know the most about, too, and so our criticisms can run pretty deep and be pretty well informed. We'll often say things like, you know, he really needs to start drinking less, or man, she's got to stop nagging so much, or man, they really need to rein in their kids. They're too wild and crazy, right? We are often very critical of those that we love the most. I'm just as guilty of this as anybody else. I'm not going to tell you exactly why, because I don't want those people to hear. But I'm absolutely probably the most critical of the people that I love and know the most, my family and my friends, often. Whether I speak those criticisms or not, that's another issue. But I'm very critical of them, and I would imagine I'm not alone in that. I think it's true. You know, they say familiarity breeds contempt. Well, it's not necessarily contempt, but I think it is true that at the very least, familiarity breeds critique. On another note, I think it's also true that those who care the most about the church can be the most critical of the church. I want to share something with you. I was reading through, as I was thinking about this message in particular, was reminded of a reading from a devotional book that I often turn to in my personal devotional life. It's entitled Daily Readings from Spiritual Classics. It's got names in there that many of you would recognize, C.S. Lewis, St. Augustine, Martin Luther, but it's also got names I've never heard of before, maybe you have. And I came across this reading from a gentleman by the name of Elton Trueblood. Raise your hand if you know Elton Trueblood. That's what I thought. I'd never heard of Elton Trueblood. He was born in 1900 in Iowa to a Quaker family, grew up and eventually earned many higher education degrees, including a PhD, and he eventually became a professor at a number of different colleges and universities. He was a professor of religion and philosophy, and at one point in his career served as the chaplain at Stanford University, so he worked his way up. He eventually retired from a small college in Indiana. But throughout that time, he wrote a lot from his perspective, a Christian perspective in particular, especially influenced by his upraising in the Quaker tradition in particular. And even after he retired and moved on, he continued to write. And I want to read a snippet for you from a book that he wrote entitled The Incendiary Fellowship. It was written in 1967, just after he had retired. And these words, I think, have a lot to say with what I want to talk with you about today. He writes in the first half of this, "We need not pay much attention to critics of the existent church when they operate out of obvious hatred or when they have no alternatives to suggest. Mere diagnosis is too easy. But we can rightly pay attention to those who criticize the church because they love her so deeply that they want her to achieve her true character." Let me read that to you again. "We need not pay much attention to critics of the existent church when they operate out of obvious hatred or when they have no alternatives to suggest. Mere diagnosis is too easy. But we can rightly pay attention to those who criticize the church because they love her so deeply that they want her to achieve her true character." In my previous call, I served as an associate pastor at the Presbyterian Church in Sewickley, Pennsylvania. The senior pastor during most of my time there became my great mentor in ministry. His name is Dana Jones. He is now retired. Dana is probably the biggest critic of the church I have ever met in my entire life, and I've spent a lot of time around a lot of people connected to the church. He also tends to be rather cynical, and I'll be honest, sometimes I feel like it's a little bit overboard. Right after he retired, he began writing, mostly I think to keep himself from absolutely destroying his marriage with his wife since he had too much time on his hands. But he wrote a series of books. He's not very good with titles. The book titles were Here, Read This, Here, Do This, and Here, Say This. So not much of a title tactician. But the first book entitled Here, Read This became an important text for me. It was somewhat more of a reminder than a new concept for me because it really did encapsulate a lot of what I had heard Dana say and seen in his ministry in the 3 years or so that I had served under him at that church. But in this book in particular, which has not sold a lot of copies, Dana is very critical of the church. I want to read for you a little snippet on the back of the cover here. It says, and these are Dana's words, "The church I love is crumbling. A few pockets of vitality can't excuse the collapse and inertia on all sides. It is not a post-denominational inevitable dwindling. Rather, it is a demise due to neglect. It is a crisis. There can no longer be business as usual. This book sounds an alarm. It is medicine that will not be easy to accept or take. The indifference of our seminaries, tall steeples, clergy generally is deeply troubling. It is past time for urgent, passionate, scandalizing response. What should we do? Who should do it? Here, read this." In the pages of this relatively short book, Dana shares with his readers his great criticisms of the church, not necessarily the local church, but certainly the local church, the larger church. And I think it'd be really hard to take if this came from my perspective from anyone other than Dana. Because as those of us who know Dana and know him well know very well about him, is that he writes these words out of what I would consider to be about the deepest love for the church of anyone I know. He is a critic of what the church has done and has become in so many different ways and in so many places, but he is a critic because he loves the church and he wants nothing but the best for the church. They are difficult words, but they are important words, and they have, I believe, guided me in my own ministry and in my own desire to serve the church and to see the church be a better and better place. Because the fact of the matter is, folks, there will always be things to criticize in the church. There's never going to be a time where we don't have things to critique or to point out to one another to say we need and could do that better. And the fact of the matter is, that's because the church is made up of people like you and me. And we are not perfect people. We are sinners. We are the kinds of people that Paul writes about in Romans who know the things that we should do, and we don't do them. who know the things that we shouldn't do, but we do them. And Paul says, it's not because of us, it's because of the sin that's in us, but regardless, whatever it is, it's true. We, the people in the church, and we, the people in the world, know the things that we should do, yet we choose not to do them. We know the things we shouldn't do, and yet we still choose to do them. We are sinners and saints alike. And here is where Trueblood's follow-up in his quote comes in. He writes, "The amazing truth is that God creates a community of saints out of sinful men and women. Those who are detached observers do not and cannot know this. But those who are really involved know it because they themselves are both saints and sinners. Close contact with a redeemed people makes us both weep and shout for joy and do both at the same time." The church in so many different places, really the church in every place, needs to be better at being the church, at being the bride of Christ, at being the hands and the feet and the eyes and the heart of Christ. And what that comes down to is that you and I need to be better about that. Because the church is nothing if it is not us, and we are nothing if we are not the church, as brothers and sisters in faith called to be that church by none other than Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, we are complex people, as Trueblood points out. We are not just sinners, and we are not just saints. And we are not some of us in one group and some of us in another group that are competing at all times for the life of the church. No, each and every one of us is both and in every single moment. Saint and sinner. Sinner and saint. And we are called, and I indeed hope it is true for each of us, to love the church. One of the ways that we love the church is to point out to one another the ways in which the church needs to be better at what the church is called to do. To love and to serve God with our whole heart and mind and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I love how Trueblood wraps up what he has to say here. He says, close contact with a redeemed people. That's us. We are a redeemed people, not of our own doing, but of the grace of God through the mercy of Jesus Christ, through the life, death, and resurrection of the Son of Man, Son of God, through that Christ and Christ alone. We are a redeemed people. Close contact with a redeemed people makes us both weep and shout for joy, and to do both at the same time. What a wonderful thing to be said about us, and I pray that would be true. We have come a long way as a church together. There is a long way yet to go. There are a lot of things that we do and do well. There are a lot of things we need to do and do better, and there are some things we need to stop doing. The only way for us to quite understand what those things are is to show those things to one another, to be critical of the church, not out of some sense of self-righteousness, but out of a sense of love for what the church is and what the church does. Because the fact of the matter is, the church isn't out there. It isn't some other entity. It is you and me. It is the people sitting in the pew next to you today. It's the people that you have already passed the peace to, the same people that you will sing a hymn with in just a minute, the same people that you will eat cookies with following service this morning. And God willing, we'll stand side by side in service to our neighbors in the days and weeks and months to come. Let us be that kind of a redeemed people. That is my prayer this day. People who can be critical of who we are and what we do out of a sense of love, recognizing that at this one and the same time, we are both sinner and saint, each one of us, you and I, and together a redeemed people. A redeemed people who can at one and the same time weep and shout for joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.